that we have together this morning. Teach us, we pray, Holy Spirit, and we'll certainly be careful to give you the glory in Christ's name. Amen. And you can be seated. You know, many of us have heard 100 times that phrase, out with the old, in with the new. You know, people think this way a lot. For instance, people think this way when it comes to refurnishing their home. You know, they walk around, they think, man, this furniture is old, it's kind of out of date. And so what they want to do is they want to gather the old furniture up, take it out with the old furniture, and in with the new stuff. Now, for those of us that have grandchildren, we're just content to stay with the old stuff because we know it's going to get marked and written on anyway. So why go get new stuff when you know that they're all going to do is carve their name in it? All you know they're going to do is they're going to bounce on it, jump on it. But listen, people, think along those lines when it comes to refurnishing their home. Also, it comes to the same situation when it comes to purchasing a reliable vehicle. They're driving a car that breaks down and they can't seem to get across town in. They're like, man, I'm tired of this. So they get rid of the old car and look for a new ride. They look for new wheels. People do the same thing when it comes to cell phones. I wish I had my cell phone here with me. Now, because if I pull my cell phone out and showed most of you in here, you'd say, man alive, what is that? Well, that cell phone's only about 5 years old. Is yours a Jurassic age? Yeah, mine is too. You say, what does your cell phone do? Calls people. That's it. That's all it does. Now, some people say, preacher, why don't you get rid of that old thing, get you something new? You know what? You know how you just kind of get in your comfort zone? You just kind of like that, what you have. But listen, people like to upgrade their cell phones. And people like to upgrade their computers. And all the people think about out with the old, in with the new. Oh, boy, I'm going to step on some toes here. Ladies, y'all forgive me, all right? But it also comes when it comes to replacing your wardrobe. Now, I got off on this the other day about shoes. Women have to have shoes. They have to have a pair of shoes for Monday morning, Monday afternoon, and Monday evening. They have to have another pair for Tuesday morning. Unless you say, preacher, are you being facetious? Well, kind of. It's almost that bad. And by the way, I'm telling you, amen. Guys, listen, every man in here ought to amen. I don't know, I think there's a conspiracy going on. Because women can go buy 3 and 4 pair of shoes for $20, and I can't go buy one for 60 or 80. I think there's a conspiracy against footwear for men. But people like to replace their wardrobe. Guys, remember when the little skinny ties were in? I'm talking about little ties. Remember that? Then for those of you that are a little bit older than I am, remember when the big ties were in? I'm talking about Bozo the Clown ties, brother. I'm talking about the knots bigger than your fist. Remember that? You see, people have gotten rid of a lot of that stuff, at least some have. But can I say we get pretty excited about something new when we get it, because what it does, it represents a sense of freshness, kind of a new beginning. You see, it gives us possession of something that we've never had before, so we're proud of it and may even talk it up or show it off. You know, when people get new things, they like to show it off. I've never had anybody come up to me and say, preacher, let me show you something I've had for 50 years. Let me show you something old. They hardly ever do that. But boy, I'm telling you, they love to come and show you something new that they've got. You say, okay, preacher, so what becomes of the old? Well, usually we have no investment in anymore. It's no use to us anymore. And a lot of times what happens, it becomes unprofitable, unacceptable to us. So a lot of times we get rid of it. We sell it in a garage sale. We sell it. We forsake it. We trash it. Whatever the case may be. We don't want it anymore. You see, it's no good to us anymore. And can I say, compared to the new, it's useless. So what we do is, we don't want to keep it. We want to get rid of it. Now, you say, preacher, why all that nonsense? Let me tell you where I'm getting to. Our text today speaks of the old and the new as well. It speaks of putting off the old and putting on the new. You see, this old and new reference that we've read about this morning doesn't have to do with a wardrobe. It doesn't have to do with anything physical. It's not a computer. It's not a cell phone. It's not a set of new furniture. We're talking about spiritual things. It's dealing with the spiritual nature of man. The scripture says there is an old man and there is a new man. Let me show you. Brother Reed, would you take your spot right here, please? I introduce to you, my friends, this morning, the old man. Brother Mark, you take your place right here. I also introduce to you the new man. Now, listen very carefully. The word old, our King James translators translated from the Greek, they translated the word paleos, the word old, which means formerly or what belongs in the past. Now, remember we read that old things are passed away, all things become new. Well, in Ephesians chapter 4, when we read the word new, the Greek word there that was translated by our King James translators means new as to the form of our quality, or new and fresh nature in contrast to the old. In Colossians chapter 3, our King James translators translated out of the Greek this word, which means a new experience, recently begun, listen, and still proceeding. Now listen to what the scripture says in light of that. Old things are passed away. Behold, in other words, the things of the past, the former things, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now listen very carefully. The old man and the new man are in existence in this room today. You see, because the old man represents the lost nature, the lost man. And all of his deeds and all of his appetites. But also there are some here this morning that have been born again. And they went from the old to the new. And the new man represents all of the positive things, all of the desires that God has for your life. Can I say something to you? There, it is an impossibility for the old man to do some of the things the new man can do. Are you with me? Do you know the old man, there are some things it's not possible for him to do. You say, like what? Well, first of all, it's not possible for him this morning to understand the Word of God. He can't understand. Why? Because they're spiritually discerned. He can't understand it. But the old man is beaten down with sin and aging depravity. Do you know the scripture says that the old man is dead in trespasses and sins? Bless Brother Sam's right. He's beaten down. Sins beat him up. Look at his white hair. Depravity's gotten a hold of him. You see, the old man is beaten down with sin and depravity. The old man desires things the new man has no interest in. He desires the affections and lust. And listen, he's got a comfort zone that he lives in. And he wants to stay in that comfort zone. You see, the old man has no desire to become a new man. He's comfortable. I promise you, Brother Sam has no desire to go back to this age. I promise you didn't. See? Yeah. He has no desire. Well, I didn't say look like that. I just said to the age. But I do want to say this. But did you know, even though the old man does not want or does not desire the things of a new man, I'm here to tell you today, the old man can become a new man. He can become a new man. You say, how, preacher? It takes a supernatural intervention of God. He cannot do it on his own. Now let me say something about the new man. The new man can never become the old man in spiritual nature, but he can sure act like one. You see, the thing about it is, once this man becomes new in Christ, and he takes on a new nature. Do you understand that once he becomes new, the new man can never become the old man in spiritual nature again? Once he's been born again, he's born into the family of God. All things are passed away. All things become new. And he cannot become the old man in nature again. You say, can you interpret that? Yeah, that means that once saved, always saved. Now, the thing about it is, there's a lot of people that have experienced the new birth that's sure acting like the old man, though. Sure acting like him. Can I ask you this? If you're here this morning, say you're 20 years old, why don't you act like a 20-year-old and stop acting like a 90-year-old? Why would a 20-year-old want to act like a 90-year-old man? But then again, why would a 90-year-old man want to act like a 20-year-old man? See, it's just not natural. Hey, if you're 20, 20-year-olds ought to act like 20-year-olds, right? 90-year-olds ought to act like 90-year-olds. Hey, if you're a Christian today, then act like a Christian and stop acting like the old man. You see, there's more of the old trying to act like the new than the new trying to act like the old. Jesus said it's wolves in sheep's clothing. Do you know there's a lot of people? They like what the church offers. They like the product. The problem is they just don't want to pay the price to get it. They want to try some other means about going about trying to find out how can I get this type of life without having to go through the process. It's not possible. You see, the old, there's too many of the old trying to appear like the new today. You see, they get them a sharp car, new wardrobe, color their hair, get a facelift, go where the new go. And what they're doing is they're trying to do something they cannot undo. This man cannot undo his sinful nature by himself. It's going to take a divine intervention of God for the old man to become a new man. It's divine intervention. And yet, you know what people are trying to do today? They're trying on their own somehow to try and figure out how he can go from this to that. He's trying to figure out how he can go from the old life to the new life, but without getting there and skipping some steps in the process. You see, the old man might be able to imitate the new man for a while, but eventually his old nature will come forth. You know, you can go to an old pig farm, and you can get an old pig and throw him in the trailer, take him home, take him in the backyard, hose him off, clean it up, put some lipstick on her, put some earrings in her ear, put a little skirt on that pig. But can I tell you something? You can dress that pig up all you want. You can make that pig look like whatever it wants. But can I tell you something? As a matter of fact, you can even squirt a little perfume on it. But you listen to me. That pig got a pig nature. And I don't care how much lipstick you put on that girl pig, how many earrings you put in her ears, or how you dress up, eventually the pig's coming out. Because that's what she is by nature, a pig. Now, listen carefully. I'm going to talk to you for just a moment about the old, out with the old, in with the new. Out with the old, in with the new. Thank you, guys. Y'all can have a seat. Thank you. Something we've got to understand this morning, church, is though the old man is alive, the Scripture says he's really dead. You said, doesn't he make any sense? Well, take your Bible. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2 for just a moment. He's alive physically, but he's dead spiritually. You say, you mean tell me that if I know not Christ, I'm really dead? That's exactly what I'm saying. There's got to be a resurrection. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Go down to verse number 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ by grace, are you saved. Even though I'm alive physically, a lost man is dead spiritually. He's dead to the things of God. And the only way that he's going to have any appetite or any desire for the new things is going to have to be a transformation take place in his life. Because, can I say to you this morning, the old man likes old things. The old man likes old things. My dad is an antique collector. He's also getting on up in age. He likes old things. He's an antique collector, and he collects things. But, you know, many times when I go home, and a lot of times he'll pull something out that he wants to show me. You know, the amazing thing, Brother Sam, is he hardly ever pulls out anything that's brand new. He always pulls out something that's old. You say, what do you mean? Well, my dad's on up and he's approaching 80 and he kind of likes old things. Because a lot of those things are conducive to his time frame and his era, his portion of life. He enjoys those. And I'm going to tell you that the old man likes old things. Like what? Well, first of all, he liked corrupt things. You see, the old man without Christ, he loves corruption. He loves corruptible things. That's the reason, folks, listen, it doesn't bother him to go partying on Saturday night and go bar to bar and person to person. It doesn't bother him. Why? Because he's corrupt. And an old man loves old things. He likes corrupt things. Listen to me. He likes immoral things. That's the reason he can sit in front of a TV and watch all the perversion and it doesn't bother him. Why? Because he likes it. Why? Because he's an old man. He's dead in trespasses and sin. So the old man likes corrupt things. He likes immoral things. Listen, he likes lustful things. He likes things that are conducive to the appetite. He likes things that make him feel good and his body feel good and his flesh feel good. And what he does is he saturates his mind full of filth, of corruption and immorality and lustfulness. You see, the old man is set in his ways. And I'll just be honest with you. I'm finding this out the more, the older I get. A lot of times the older we get, the more stubborn we get. Come on, somebody help me out here now. I said the older we get, the more stubborn we get. You know why? Because we get set in our ways. And most of us don't like to change. Can I remind you, the old man that's dead and trespasses to sin, he don't want to change, folks. He doesn't want to become a new man. He wants to stay in the corrupt things, in the immoral things, in the lustful things. Why? Because that's his comfort zone. He likes it. He wants to live there and stay there. You see, the old man likes old things. But I also noticed something about the old man. The old man is resistant to new things. Now, I know I'm getting older because I kind of like my little Jurassic phone. And man, I can't tell you how many people say, "Preach, you need to get rid of that thing. That's embarrassing. That's awful. That you can do so much more, preach, just at the touch, just right there, just at the touch." I know, that's the reason I got a computer. I can go there and touch. You see, the old man many times is resistant to new things. You say, like what? Well, first of all, he's resistant to the new life. Because you know, we know what the new life carries with it. The new life, once the Holy Spirit comes in, the Holy Spirit says, "Okay, it's Sunday morning, it's time to go to church, time to go to preaching, time to go get fed from the Word of God." You know what the old man? The old man's like, "You know what? What's church done for me? Church never done anything for me." Listen, he could care less about church. But once he becomes a new man, the Holy Spirit is going to convict him about the house of God. It's a new life. It's also convict him about the new way. You see, the old man is resistant to the new life, but he's also resistant to the new way. Because you know what the Bible does? Once the Holy Spirit comes in, the Holy Spirit wants to teach you the Bible. That's the reason. For you, some of you young Christians, that's the reason there's an urge right after you get saved to read the Bible. That's the reason there's a desire for the sincere milk of the Word. Why? Because the Holy Spirit wants to teach you Christian values. Boy, I'll tell you one thing. You take the Word of God and you take it to an old man, a guy that the Spirit of God's not in, a guy dead trespassing and sin, he could care less about the Bible. See, look at him. He could care less about the Bible. What I'm saying is the old man's resistant to the new life. He's resistant to the new way. Hey, listen, he's resistant to the new direction. He's resistant to all of that. Oh, by the way, he's also resistant to a new God because he's following his God, the God of this world. And you know what? Listen now. He knows the God of this world will overlook some things and allow him and cater to the things that he likes. The God of this world, you know what? He doesn't mind. He doesn't mind the old man going out here. He doesn't mind the old man going and bar hopping. He doesn't mind the old man carousing. He doesn't mind the old man cheating and lying. He doesn't mind that. You see, the old man is following his father, the devil, and he's going to cater to those needs. Why? To try to keep him in that comfort zone. To try to keep him in that lifestyle. You see, the new man's resistant to the new life, the new way, the new direction, to the new God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. He's resistant. You see, the old man doesn't like them because he's unfamiliar with them. And he feels more comfortable in his old ways. That's the reason I still got that phone, because you know what? I just feel comfortable with it. It looks like somebody ran over it with a pickup truck. I mean, it's beat all to pieces. But you know what? the old man gets comfortable. He gets a little bit stubborn, and he becomes then a little resistant to new things. They want to stay in their comfort zone. But here's what I need you to understand. I said the old man likes old things. The old man is resistant to new things. But here's the thing. It's the new things that change the old man. It's the new things that change the old man. You see, the thing about it is the old man cannot change himself. The Scripture says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You see, the very new thing he resists is the very thing that can change him. The very thing that he's putting off is the very thing that can transform his life. You see, it's the new things that can change the old man. There must be a divine transformation, though, that takes place. A divine transformation. There must be conviction that takes place. There must be a willingness that takes place. You see, the thing about it is, you see here, this man right here will never change to the new man unless he wants to. God's never going to come and take him and say, no, you will become a new man because I'm telling you to. He'll never do it. The only way that the old man can become the new man is if he desires and willingly does so. But you know what there's going to have to be? There's going to be a divine transformation take place. He's going to have to go from this to this. Now, here's the thing that we need to remember. What we need to remember is this. Brother Sam, come back and stand here just a minute. Let me get a young guy in here. Come up here, buddy. Come here. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Come on up here. You stand over here. Come right here, Brother Sam. Stay right here. Stand right here. Okay? And here's what you got to understand. The old man can become the new man. But here's the misinterpretation. Is that many think that when the old man becomes the new man, come here, Brother Mark, and he gets born into the family of God, that he's born immediately into this stage. But he's not. When he gets born, when the old man makes the transformation to the new man, you know what the Scripture says? Jesus put it this way, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You see, when the old man makes the choice to receive Christ to become the new man, he's not automatically born a mature new man. The Scripture said he's born a babe in Christ. Now, this is the smallest guy I could find. I would have had a baby out of the nursery. But this is how, listen, he doesn't move from this stage to this stage, folks. He moves from this stage to this stage. Now, the thing about it, help me out here. Do you think this stage has as much sense as this stage? Help me out. Do you think this guy knows as much as this guy? No, No way. Now, listen, do you think this guy knows as much as this guy? Okay? He's not fully mature yet, but he's getting there, right? You see, the thing is, what you got to understand is once you become a child of God and you get born into the family of God, you don't go from this stage to this stage. It's a process, folks. Salvation is instant, but Christianity is a process of growth. And God says, I want you to go from here, even though you're born here, I want you to go from here to here. Now, y'all stand right over here, Brother Mark. Stand right over there by him. Now, this man decides, the old man says, you know what? I think I'm going to become, I'm tired of my life. I'm tired of getting beat up by the devil. Listen, he hasn't done anything. I'm going to make a change. So he puts his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Instantly, he's transformed into a new man, but he comes in to the family of God at this stage. Now, the thing about it is, do you think God wants you as a new child of God? Does he want you to stay this age? All right, then let me ask you this. If you stayed in this condition, would everybody think there'd be something wrong if he told me he was 50 years old? Would you think there's something abnormal about this? Well, can I say to you, if you're a child of God this morning and this is where you stayed, there's something terribly abnormal. There's something terribly abnormal. Listen, God, listen, he saved you to get you out of this stage. Glory to God. We're happy. But when you come into the family of God, you come in at this stage. God doesn't want you to stay at this stage. He wants you to reach this stage and older and growing and more mature. You see, the new things change the old man. Thank you, guys. Now, let me finish this up and say this. We talked about going from the old to the new. Let me just stop just a moment and talk about going from the new back to the old. Because if you're a child of God this morning, it is not the will of God for you to go back to the old life. You see, whereas it took a divine transformation for the old to become new, it only takes a conformation or a conforming. And I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be you what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, the thing about it is there is a transformation that has to take place for the old man to become the new man. But listen, all it takes is a conformation, not confirmation. Conformation. It's just simply conforming to the wrong people, conforming to the wrong environment, conforming to the wrong situations. You see, in order for the new man to start acting like the old man. Remember that once the old man becomes new, he can never become old again in nature, but he can sure act like the old. He can imitate the old. You say, well, what happens, preacher, if the new man decides to start acting like the old man or doing things of the old man? Well, first of all, it brings the chastisement of God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 6 says, from whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth not one, not two, every son whom he receiveth. He scourges every son that steps out of line. Now, folks, listen to me. I have five children. Those children, mine, those were born into my home. Did you know I didn't go around disciplining or chastening other people's kids? I didn't. You know why? Because they weren't mine. And can I tell you that God doesn't go around chastening the unsaved? So if you've been just, if you claim to be saved, you've been cruising through life and you've been living like the devil and nothing's ever happened to you, I think you need to come check up a little bit. Because the scripture says, when the old man becomes the new man and the new man decides to go back to the old ways or decides to start living a little bit like the old man did prior to salvation, hey, listen to me, God says a Christian will be chastened. You say, why does God chasten, preacher? First of all, to warn us. To warn us. Because he doesn't want us to live that lifestyle. He chastens to warn us. Secondly, he chastens to correct us. You know, for some reason, most of the world's got this idea that God is sitting up on this throne with this big club on his shoulder. And he's looking down on the earth and he's just looking for somebody to step out of the line. So, you ever gone to Chuck E. Cheese and played that little gopher game? You know what I'm saying? You take he pops his head up, you just pop him on the head. Y'all never done that? My other person's done? Okay. But so, for some reason, people think that God is sitting in heaven with this big club on his shoulder, and he's looking down, looking for somebody to step out of line so he can pop him in the head. Well, can I ask you this? Where did you get that idea? You didn't get it from the Bible. Where did we get that idea from? Hey, let me tell you something, my friend. Our God is loving and caring and compassionate and is long-suffering and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Where did we get this God in heaven with a club on his shoulder idea? And get it from the Bible. You see, many times we hear those kind of things from people that are still in the old way. You see, correction, our chastisement is to warn us, to correct us. Listen, it's to turn us. Anytime I ever disciplined my children, it was for those three, to warn them, to correct them, to turn them. And that's why God corrects us. He corrects us to do that. Chastisement is God's last resort for those who are new and are entangled with the old ways. Now listen, do you know that there's sometimes, and parents, you can vouch for this, sometimes when your kids step out of line, you can correct it with just a verbal command. Now some of you, if you have multiple children, you got children with different temperaments. Some of you can just look at it and say, don't do that again. You know what I'm saying? And you got some of them you can't do that with. You know, you said, don't do that again, and they're just like, it's like going, boom, boom. It's kind of like that little, what do they call it, little paddling ball. You see, God chastises to warn, to correct, to turn. Now here's the last thing. For a Christian that goes back and that becomes a new man in Christ and then goes back and begins to be drawn back to the old things, Can I say to you? It brings a high cost in the future. It brings a high cost. Take your Bible. Let me show you one passage of Scripture, and then I'll be done here. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. These are people. Now here's what you got to understand. These are people that trusted Christ, and they have escaped the pollutions of the world. They've been born into the family of God. He says, and they are again entangled therein. Now, I don't know how many have ever been out and gotten tangled up in something. I like to hunt, and many times when I have to go out to my stand, my deer stand, or hunting, and I have to go out at night, and early in the morning, it's dark, and I have a flashlight or a headlight. One day, I was going out, heading to my hunting site, and I decided, you know what? I'm not going to walk all the way around there. I know about where it is, so I'm going to step across it because there was a barbed wire fence that had fallen down and stuff. And so I thought, well, I'm going to take the shortcut and just kind of, you know, distance between two points. So I thought, I'm just going to walk right there. Problem is, I miscalculated the barbed wire, and I got tangled in the barbed wire. Now, if you've ever gotten tangled up in barbed wire, it's like the more you try to resist and get loose, the more you get stuck. And I mean, man, it got stuck all in my pants. I'm sitting here trying to, and of course, needless to say it, I got to the deer stand that morning, I saw absolutely nothing. Because, man, I made so much noise, I was flopping around trying to get loose. You see, I'm telling you, it's an uncomfortable feeling when you become entangled. He says, and they are again entangled therein and overcome. Listen, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. And it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. He says, but it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to his own vomit again, and the sow, remember that pig I was talking about a while ago, that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. You see, when the old man becomes a new man, and the new man gets entangled again with the old things, there's a high cost to be paid in the future. You see, we've got to understand, folks, that all of us, all believers, will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And one day we'll be judged according to our works, whether they be good or bad. May I say to you, if you're here today and you know not Christ, you likewise will face your Creator. But in that day, you will be judged according to your rejection of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the last words a lost man will hear before they're cast into the lake of fire will be, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. There'll be loss of reward for the saved. There'll be loss of reward in the kingdom of Jesus Christ for the saved. But nothing can be worse than for those who know not Christ to reject Him and lose their own soul. I just want to say this morning that if you're going to take the step, if the old man is going to become a new man, you know how it's going to have to happen? It's going to happen by divine transformation. And you know, it can happen in your life today. And here's what happens. When that transformation takes place, old things, former things are passed away. Don't go back there. All things become new. They become transforming. That's where the joy is. That's where the happiness is. That's where the excitement is there on the new side of things. So out with the old, that's God's desire, and in with the new. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking around. How many would say, preacher, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, I'm a child of God, no question about it. I want you to slip your hand way up high, say, that's me. That's me. I'm saved, no question about it, I'm a child of God. Wonderful, wonderful. All right, you can put your hands down. Now, Father, the invitation now is going to belong to you. I'm going to guess probably 95% of the people in this auditorium raised their hand and said they were born again Christian. I pray, Lord God, that you'd bless them and help them. I realize, Lord, that we live in such an entangling world. We live in such a depraved time. And the draw of the world, the cry of the world is so loud today in the hearts and minds of people. My desire is, Lord God, that we commit to our faith in Jesus Christ, to live for it with all of our heart, our soul, our mind. Please, Lord, would you do something special today in this invitation time? Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one's looking around. Though most could raise their hand this morning, I did see about a half a dozen or so that could not raise their hand. Can I say to you, please do not leave today without knowing Christ? Can I say to you that the Lord Jesus desires to transform you this morning. All you've got to do is come and want to be transformed. Because you can't, listen, the old man can't change himself. He's dead in trespasses and sin. The only way he can go from the old to the new is by divine intervention, supernatural intervention. If you're here this morning, say, "Preacher, if I died, I can't honestly say I'd go to heaven. I've got some doubt about my eternal destiny." But at least you would let me pray for you. At least you'd allow me this morning, on this Memorial Day weekend, at least allow me to pray for you. You say, "Preacher, that's me. If I died, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven. Would you give me, or would you pray for me, please?" No one's looking at me. I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, "That's me. That's me." Just slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. Say, "Preacher, that's me." God bless you. You can put your hand down. Anybody else, say, "Preacher, that's me." Who will join this one? Say, "That's me, preacher. I don't know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Pray for me." All right? God bless you. There's two. Who will join these two and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I don't know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven." God bless you. God bless you. There's three. God bless you. There's four. Who will say, "Preacher, that's me"? Be honest. We're in church today. We're talking about your soul. You say, "I've lived in that old man life. I've lived that kind of life. Preacher, I'm miserable." Well, let me encourage you this morning to move to the new side. Anybody will join these four. Say, "Preacher, that's me. That's me. If I died today, not sure I'd go to heaven. Just slip it up. Let me pray for you." Anybody else? Anybody else? All right? Maybe you're here this morning and say, "Preacher, I'm already saved. I'm already a Christian. But I've never been baptized after I got saved. I know it's the right thing to do. And I know if I'm going to be right with God, that's what I've got to do. I've got to step out and make my public profession to follow the Lord in believers' baptism." Say, "Preacher, I've already been saved. Never been baptized. I know it's the right thing to do. Pray for me. I need to do that as soon as possible." Why don't you slip your hand up and I'll pray for you. Just slip it up. Slip it up. Slip it up. God bless you. Who will join these two? Who will join these two? You can put your hands down and say, "Preacher, I'm already saved, already a Christian, never been baptized after I got saved." Just slip your hand up. Let me pray for you. Anybody else will join these two? Anybody? 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 All right? Then maybe you're here this morning and say, "I'm a Christian, preacher, but I've got to be honest. I've been entangled with some vices of the world." Maybe you've been entangled again with some old habits that God delivered you from and it's kind of drawn you back. Maybe you've been enticed with other means and been entangled with maybe with some old friends or an old lifestyle or old habits, whatever it may be. You'd say, "Preacher, please, please pray for me. I don't want to go back there. I'm not happy. Please pray for me that God will deliver me." You say, "Preacher, that's me." Don't you slip your hand up high. Say, "I'm a Christian, but I've been entangled with some things." Regardless, whatever it is that's entangling you, you say, "Preacher, pray for me." All right, God bless you. All over, all over. Now, Father, I pray for this invitation time. Would you show grace and mercy, I pray, to these dear people. Some need to come when the invitation starts to be saved. Some need to come get baptized to be obedient to Jesus Christ. Some that raised their hand, Lord, and said they're Christians need to come and make right their wrongs with you. And they need, Lord, to get their heart back in tune in a right relationship with you. Father, I'm telling you, the world is so enticing and it's so inviting to so many. And yet, Lord, so many times hurts kind of tend to lead the way. And I pray that if there are some hurts in this auditorium today, that you'd heal them and mend their wounds, Lord, so that they could get back on the right track. I ask you, please, have your way. Move, convict, I pray, where conviction needs to take place. And those that need to come and make those decisions, may they come this morning with a great desire when they leave this auditorium today to leave right with God. And we'll give you the glory and the praise for what shall be accomplished during this invitation time. In Jesus' name I ask it. Now with the heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand with me? The instrument's going to begin to play. They're going to begin to sing. And as they do, you come. If you raise your hand, say, "Preacher, that's me. That's me. That's me." You come on. You come on. You come on. Say, "Preacher, that's me. That's me." If you need to be saved, you come. Many of you raise your hand, say, "Preacher, that's me." Maybe you're a Christian this morning. And say, "Preacher, I've already been saved, but I've been entangled with the affairs of this life." You come on. Listen, we want to pray with you. We want to pray with you. You come on. Listen, if you're a lady, we'll have a lady pray with you. If you're a man, we'll have a man pray with you. This is your opportunity. Don't pass it up. Don't pass it up.